Turn this thing on. Okay. For any of you guys that don't know, we're recording this. It's online. Get on the website. Go to listen. There it is. So it's basically just the book of James. So I know because a lot of us are in ministry and whatnot, and if you want to keep up, and if not, it's cool too. I just wanted to let you know. So James chapter 1, that's where we've been, right? And I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time recapping because a lot of you guys are like, we do this every time, but it helps my mind get to where it needs to be. So James chapter 1, right? And we're going to go through James. Hopefully we can make some ground now. And the reason I like James is because it's right there where we're at, right? Past points transitioning, if you know anything about the book of James, what they were doing, and they were transitioning, it just really fits where we are as a class, or even more than that, where we are as a church. So we're at a point where we're going to decide, what are we going to do? Right? What are we going to do? And you're like, what are you talking about? Well, it'd be really easy for us, after Roger left, to be like, well, I'm just going to find somewhere else. Or I don't like the way Jason teaches or whatever. There's other people that are teaching too, but I just meant as far as what are we going to do? Are you going to be steadfast and hold fast to the Word of God, or are you going to use the lack of accountability and just kind of slowly fade away and dissipate? Because that's what happens. I mean, just be honest. Look around. Churches don't last long. It's an ebb and flow. And I want to be more than that as a class. And I've kind of said that before, is I don't want to be the guy who comes rolling up in here on Sunday mornings, who spent some time writing some stuff on a piece of paper to tell you what the Bible says. Because I believe you're intelligent enough people that you can read the Bible and know what it means on your own. So we need to be more than that. And I don't want this to be, and I've been working with Mark some, I don't want this to be where I come in here and teach you guys anything. I want to bring some things out of the Word of God, and I want to kind of talk about them. I want to relate to what we've got going on. That's what Brian does a really good job of preaching. I don't need to do that. So I kind of want you guys to know where my heart's at, because I want to pull out the things and let you know this is how it works in my life, and how's it work in your life, and we can actually, as a group, as a fellowship that they call it, learn from each other's mistakes and find a way to glorify God together. And so I think that's really possible. I think the book of James is really good for that. So we're using faith steps, right? And it's just a really weird way of me saying that's the next point. They're faith steps. It's kind of like a staircase. You have to step on one before you can step on the next. Or if you've got really long legs, you might be able to skip one, but you can't skip them all. So at some point, you have to take the next step up, right? These are just steps. They're simple steps. So we've been going through it, and here was like the objective for, because I broke it down, but I didn't want to get in a huge hurry. So the last 19 to 27... Chapter 1, verses 19 to 27, it's really a lot about what are you going to do with the Word of God? You know, that's what James is talking about. What are you going to do with the Word of God? Are you going to just read it and roll with it? Or are you actually going to do something with it? What are you going to do it? So that was kind of what I titled it, Hearing or Doing. And that's just, what are you going to do? Are you just going to be another person who rolls in here on Sunday morning and hears something else and then rolls out and forgets about it? Because the Chiefs are on, right? And we got a birthday party to go to, and I got to work tomorrow, and it's just really easy to forget. So what are we going to do with it? So, and I only got through like 2 points, which, praise the Lord, we're not in a hurry. So, but my whole point was I wanted you guys to know that every believer, you and me and anybody else, you can know how to respond to the Word of God, the book that you hold in your hand, by following faith steps. These six. I pulled six from it, from the book of James, right? So before we get into that, you know, chapter one, we looked at, you know, the very first thing he talked about was trials. Everybody's going to go through trials. We looked at that. You know, in the faith steps, patience, steady-mindedness, perspective, endurance. I don't want to reteach any of that, you know, but that was what he was talking about. You know, everybody's going to have trials. You got to have ways to get through those things. And those are ways to do it. If you need to, go back and listen to it if you need to. I want to try to move on. And then the next week, it was understanding temptation, right? And he talked about in James how we all have our own lust, our own particular lust, whatever that is. And it may be cars, or it may be is whatever. I'm not even going to get into it. It is what it is. But, you know, how we all have our own. And so basically, you know, we looked at, you got to know how to see God, right? Because God is holy. And if that's not how you see God, then do you need to get your eyes checked? Because that's the only thing that you need to know when you look at God is He is holy and you're not. And so there's a gap there. So what are you going to do about it? Know how to see God. Know how to see yourself. And know how God sees you. Remember He talked about how He considered us His first fruits, like the best of the best. That makes me feel kind of good to know that the God of the universe looks at me as the first fruits, as the best He's ever done. And then I go through life and I stumble and fall and I'm like, really? That's what you think of me? So, you know, but I was thinking about this week, not to reteach any of this, but I was thinking about the whole your own lust thing, right? And this has nothing to do with what we're going to talk about today, but, you know, it talks about how, and just let me, in verse 14, James chapter 1, it says, "But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin bringeth forth death." And we talked about all that, and we went through that, and it was kind of, you know, that's kind of an internal thing. It's kind of hard to just, you know, hey, what's your struggle, and what's your struggle? So there wasn't a whole lot of conversation there, but lust is only, it's on the inside. And it's what you do about it that makes you who you are. Your body that you live in, or you're going to struggle with things, whatever it may be. I'll scoot over if you want me to. whatever it may be, but it's only sin when you act on it, when you follow through on it. I struggle with things. You might think, well, the same things that you do, no matter what it is. But it doesn't turn into sin. And God made you that way. Just remember that. That's why I told you I would scoot over.
You were supposed to take care of me this morning. Oh, sorry.
God made you the way that you are, right? With all your quirks and whatever it is. And so those lusts, those are things that happen. It's what you do with it. What kind of person are you going to be? Are you going to follow through with those things? So that was something that I thought was just kind of, you get a choice. It's kind of like with salvation. He puts it out there, but it's a choice. So, you know, just kind of meditate on that. So anyway, and then last week, or the week before last, whenever last time I was in here, so we got into what we were talking about, hearing, doing, right? And the first step was listen before you speak, right? And I'm not going to talk about it, but, you know, we kind of know you need to hear the word before you're ready to just teach the word, right? And that was that's the context in James. You need to hear the word before you get ready to teach the word. But more than that, sometimes you need to, in your personal life, you need to do a little bit more listening and a little less talking, just in general. So go back and listen to that if you want to. And the second we looked at was, you know, it says that you need to control your wrath. And the biggest point with that was wrath is a choice, and wrath and anger are different. We spent a lot of time looking at that. Go back and listen to it. Wrath and anger, they're different. So wrath is kind of like a state of being. Anger is a choice. You choose to be. It's fueled by circumstances, right? So let me fast forward through some of this and get to today. So the thing with wrath was, it's you get to choose. It's a mindset. What am I going to do about it? And you need to choose grace, right? So, okay, I gave you guys a challenge. So, does anybody know what it was? And did anybody do it? Intentionally go out of your way to minister to somebody. Just intentionally minister. Be a doer of the work. We're going to look at that today. I mean, and I know I wasn't going to be here the next week, so I think you guys all thought, well, I got a free pass, I don't have to do that. So I'll be here next Sunday. But yeah, intentionally go out of your way to do something for somebody. And for some of you, that's really weird. And for some of you, it's like, oh, I do that every day. But making the Word of God actually real in your life, not just something that you read. So I'll give you a pass.
Oh, come on.
Well, what did you do, Laura?
I don't want to talk about it. I just did it. Actually, I did several things.
Good.
I tried to do one thing, and they're like, no, you can't do that. But some of the things I was actually able to do.
Good. All right, so let's...
Wait a minute. You're not going to make her be specific?
Yeah, I want to know.
Well,
here's one thing.
Do what? What's one thing? Well, I had a bunch of strangers in my house for a bonfire.
They were all strange.
They were not strange.
Yes, strange.
They're all strange.
Strange people, though. So I had a girlfriend that actually was in the bonfire last night. She, her little boys are really sick. Mm. And so I had them down and planned something for them and paid for it. That's kind of unusual for me. And then we had a family that had a fire and offered to keep them in my house. And they said, no, they're not the kind of people we want you to have in your house. But thanks for the offer. And
at least they were honest.
Do what?
At least they were honest.
Yes. Well, with somebody here, and they're like, no, that's not going to be a good idea. And then there was one other thing I did. I can't. That's not coming to mind. But anyway, so it was
just intentionally, yeah, do something. Take somebody to lunch. Go to lunch with somebody. Intentionally meet somebody you don't know. This might just be me, but it's really awkward when we come in here. What?
I just wondered what he did.
Oh, when we come in here on Sunday mornings, and I usually wait till about a quarter till because I don't want to go for an hour or more than an hour. That's not what I want to do. So, and it's like a silence in here. I'm like, You guys know you can talk, right? Yeah. So no, I want this to become more of almost a family setting as opposed to a class where you're coming in to hear somebody teach. I want to teach the Word of God, obviously. The Word of God is the key. But how do we make it real? And I'm trying to work those things out. So, and by the way, you missed it last night because we went to Mark's house and the sheriff was there and everything else. So
So what did they say it was?
Well, yeah, we had a house fully engulfed in flames last night, and I didn't even know it.
We didn't know it.
Yeah. So.
Next time, we'll call them before you.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, you know what?
It was
the second time I've heard that.
You know, the weird thing is, it seems like every time Pass Point gets together, the sheriff's there. We got to dance out, and the sheriff came out like three times. So. I don't know. Anyway, we were shooting guns at something, I think. But anyway, it was going boom.
It was going boom.
Yeah. All right, so let's pray. Let me get my mind figured out here, and we'll roll on today. Father God, Lord, I love you. I thank you for your word. I thank you for just the people in Pass Point. They're just they're sweet people, Lord, and they love you, and they want to follow you. And Lord, I pray that you just knit our hearts together, that we could become one just following you. And Lord, it was just very evident even this week, just seeing people come together around the family, and it's just humbling, God. And I pray you just put me out of the way, Lord. I don't have anything to say. I know you do. And that you would just speak through me and just be glorified, Lord. I pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. So, all right. The first two, you know, listen before you speak and put off rest. So here's faith step number three. This is new stuff right here. Put off the world and put on the Word. And you might be like, duh, I know that. So let's read some of this first. Start in verse 19. That's 19 and 20 is what we did last week. And so it says, wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And we talked all about that, so let's move on. And in verse 21, this gets really good. He says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Somebody tell me what that means. Because I sat, and obviously you can study this out, but I love my King James Bible. I'll tell you that right now. But there are times that it's just like, what in the world does that mean? We don't talk like that, do we? I don't roll up to Mark or Travis and be like, you need to put aside your superfluity of naughtiness. What does that mean? You would probably look at me like I was nuts. So, for those of you who are like me, I'm going to try to dumb this down a little bit. Not because you're dumb, and it's for me. So I was just kind of, you kind of get what it's saying, but so filthiness, you know what filthiness is, right? It's like dirtiness. So, okay. superfluity. This is a word I didn't know what it meant. You could probably ask my wife, she'd have told you, but I just like, what does that mean? It's like excess of something, surplus. You have way too much of something. So, and naughtiness, you kind of, okay, it's wickedness, you guys know. So, if you look at it like that, the verse would read something like this. It'd say, wherefore, lay apart all dirtiness and excess of wickedness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word, which will save your souls. I can understand that. I get that. Now, I'm not telling you to put... Don't take me wrong. I love my Bible. It is what it is. But it makes a little more sense, right? Lay apart all of your junk and all of the excess of your junk and receive the word. Oh, I can understand that. Now, living it, that's something different. But so I'm not willing to change the words in the Bibles, but sometimes I need some help understanding. So now that we kind of see what the verse even says, we can see that the faith, well, all he's saying is put off the world and put on the word. It's really simple. Colossians 3, verse 5 through 8, I'll just read it. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry, for which thing's sake the wrath of God cometh upon the children of disobedience, in which ye also walked sometime when ye lived in them, but now also ye put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. He's saying you got to get rid of all that junk. And you might be like, I don't even know what some of that stuff means. If you think about it, you do. And if you're really honest with yourself, and if I'm really honest with myself, we've got them in our lives. And he's saying, you got to get rid of that junk. You want to follow God? You want to be the kind of person that's real about following God? You got to get rid of the. You got to get rid of it. It is what it is. You know, he says, in the which ye also walked sometime. I think that's God's way of saying, you know, that you struggle with this. And that's why the list is so long, because you might be like, well, I don't have an anger problem, so I'm good. Well, there's like 13 other things, so just pick one. I mean, think about this in the context of what we've already seen in the book of James, right? We see James called them out on their temptation and lust. Chapter 1. I mean, can you imagine that? This guy's like the pastor of your church. The church is getting attacked from the outside, and the pastor, in like the first chapter or the first paragraph of what he writes, he's calling you out for your wicked thoughts. Like, couldn't you encourage me a little bit first? He calls them out, and he moves right after he calls them out. He says, okay, this is where you guys are at. You're lusting after things, and you're following after things you shouldn't. What's the next thing he talks about? How are you going to receive the word? How are you going to receive the word? He knows that they're in a place. He knows that we're in a place, that I'm in a place where God has completely opened up our heart and said, okay, we've all got something we need to deal with. And the next thing he goes to is, what's the word say? Because we know that the word's got plenty to say about whatever it is you're struggling with. I think that's one of the coolest things about the Word of God, is even over 2,000 years later, it's very relevant in today. There's not a situation that I deal with day in and day out that I can't find what God would have me to do in the Word of God. So it's very relevant. So how are you going to apply it? I think it's really cool. So naturally, he tells them, if you're all going to receive the Word, then you're going to have to lay that other stuff down first. He says, you know what? If you're going to receive the Word with meekness, like it says, you got to get rid of that other crap first. Now, before I even move on, because I'm sure somebody's going to take that wrong, and they're going to run and say, Jason said I got to clean up before I... I'm the kind of person that, you know what? Christ wants to meet you where you're at and get you where you're going to go. Christ will meet you where you're at. It doesn't matter how wicked you are or were or anything else, because I was a very self-righteous person, and God met me where I was at. So I'm not saying you got to clean up, but I'm saying, especially if you're saved, get rid of the crap, because you know what you're doing isn't right. That's what the word's saying. I'll just call it like it is. You got to lay some things down if you're wanting to walk up the stairs, the faith steps. If you're going to take the steps, Well, here's the step. Put away the world and put on the Word. Take that step. Hebrews 12:1 says, "Wherefore, seeing we are all compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." He says, lay it all down. Put it all down. And you're like, I know. I've heard this. Then do it. Because I've heard it. And I don't do it. And I'm only talking about it because that's where we're at. So that's where we're at. Ephesians 4:22 says that you put off concerning the former conversation of the old man. This is talking about the way you were when you were lost, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. You got to put off that old man. You know, you got to get rid of that old stuff. And I know we struggle with those things, right? I do. I do. We're transitioning just as they were in the book of James, right? We already talked about that. So it's very important that we as a class and as a church body stay faithful to what got you here. I mean, think about that. Where, if you just look back at your life from the first time God was ever even brought up to you, because I can think back to telling somebody that they were nuts. They were a Bible-thumping Jesus freak. And so I think back starting there up through my life to where I'm at now and the steps that God took in my life. What got me here? What finally broke through? It was the Word of God. It wasn't somebody's story or somebody finally convincing me of something. You can't convince me of anything. The Word of God. That's what got you here. That's why you're here today. Even if you don't want to be, that's why you're here. Because somebody that you know is interested in the Word of God and you're here for them. Whatever it is. I don't know. Many of you heard the Casting Crowns song, right? It's a slow fade. Slow fade. You know, it's... Don't laugh at me. I was trying to sing. No. Not going to happen.
Nope.
Wait, you guys... It's so true. Other than they play the same songs over and over again on Christian radio, it's so true. It's the little things at first. And it's the next thing. And then before you know it, it's like, well, I know I shouldn't do this, but it's a slow fade. But if you don't stay on top of what God's got you doing, it's really easy to find yourself at the bottom of the hill looking up saying, what in the world just happened? It's really easy. Sometimes before we even know it, you gradually slipped away from your first love, right? Christ. And find yourself back in the old man's body. Like it's talking about the old man's body. And I told you guys, I don't want to be a Sunday morning Christian. And I think you guys know what I mean by that. I don't want to be that guy. And I hope that you don't want to be that way either, because like I've said before, if that's the way you are, you'll probably be better off finding somewhere else, because I want to be real. And if the Word can't be real, then I think we're wasting our time. I think I'm wasting my time. I want to be a Romans 12:1 kind of Christian. The kind of person that gives everything I've got. Every single thing I've got. And at the end of the day, at least I can tell God, that's it. Maybe I'll have more tomorrow. But that's the life I want to have. So that starts with putting off the old man so that you can live in Christ. If you're ever going to receive this book, right? If you're ever really going to receive it and not simply just have it in your hand, you're going to have to quit living like the world. I mean, just, it is what it is. I got to quit living like a different person when I'm at work, even though I don't want to. I've got to quit having the thoughts that, you know what I'm saying? Whatever it is, I can't be that person. If I'm ever going to be closer to Christ, I've got to quit living like the world. And it's hard, isn't it? It's hard. Because we live in a society that tells you that none of that matters. It's no big deal. You know, I don't even want to get into it. But that's... You might think that the things I do really aren't that bad. I'm not that bad of a person. I'm actually a pretty good person. I'm not the kind of guy that's going to... I talked to Mark about this last night. I'm not the kind of guy that's going to make a list of things you can and can't do. That's not my job. But here's what I will say. Anything that takes your focus off the mission of God, that can probably go. Anything. I'm not saying quit all your hobbies. I like to do those things too. Whatever it is. Or anything like that. But the problem starts when whatever it is for you starts to become your little G, your little God. You know? Well, I've been to India a couple times, and they make these little statues, and they've got their little altars, and they've got all their little different gods, and you know, we go over there, and well, like, we feel pity for them, like, if you only knew that, you know, there's one true God, you know, and we feel sorry for him. And then you come back home, and I look at mine, it's 70 inches, it hangs on the wall, you know, and it's the vehicles I drive and the house I live, and our gods just look different, but we're the same. We all struggle with the same things. You know, whatever it is, God has to be God. And everything else has to follow. And if it doesn't, then I don't know. Obviously, our lust and sin have to go. I mean, if that's what you're struggling with, grow up and get away from it. I mean, if you're just outright sinning and you're like, I know I shouldn't do that, you're right, you shouldn't do that. I mean, that's not the things I'm talking about. It's the little things. Anything that... whatever it is. Just evaluate those things. So think of it this way. Think back to how it felt the day you got saved. I mean, just think back. Because I'm sure a lot of us can tell you the day. I couldn't tell you the day. I could tell you where I was at. I was sitting at a stop sign in my truck. I'm like, that's weird. I'll tell you my testimony sometime, but think about what it was like the day you got saved. Like, I don't know if it was, I don't know if it's like this for you, but like, there was a weight lifted off my shoulders. Like, everything that was just, it was gone. It was awesome. Right? I gave it all to God, right? Then why do we slowly over time begin to pick those things back up? We gave them all to God, right? You laid it all down. Why don't you pick them back up? You pick them back up. Oh, that I need that. You know, I think I've never seen this show, but I've heard people talk about the hoarder show. You know, they go into these people's houses and they've got like, all this stuff, right? And then these guys come in, they're like, we're gonna take it all, and they're like, yes, that's what I want. I just want to be free. And then they start going through all their stuff, and they're like, what? You can't take that. Well, I really need that collection of troll dolls or whatever. I don't know what it is, but we're the same way. We give it all to God, and then the next thing you know, we're like, well, I kind of liked that, and it wasn't really that bad. And then you walk a few more days, and it's like, well, that wasn't that bad either. And the next thing you know, you got your stink backpack back on because you can't carry it all. Your backpack. Yeah, that's the way we are. If you're serious, if I'm serious about being a Romans 12:1 Christian, then you got to leave it all behind. That's another Casting Crown song. And be ready to receive the Word, right? You got to put off the world and put on the Word. If you want your faith to grow, then you got to put off the world and put on the Word, right? I mean, that's just simple. That's as simple as I can put it. So, I mean, do you guys struggle with that at all? Because I do, day in and day out. Because obviously, I didn't get here by accident. I try my best to follow God, and you know, but I struggle. And there's days that it's just like, it's almost like, God, why'd you set me up to fail? You know why? Because I just don't have it in me. I don't know. You just gotta. I don't know. That's kind of why I struggle with those things. And it's like, I just want to be what God wants me to be. That's my heart. I have a really good heart. I just can't follow through. I mean, I don't know. You feel that way?
You know, when I think about, and we're talking about the superfluity of naughtiness, I think
for me, and I think for a lot of people, we recognize who God is, right? I don't think we recognize who we are, right? You said it earlier, I'm not that bad a guy, right? Compared to that guy, I'm pretty
That's
good.
What we do. That's what we do.
Right? I mean, right. So what this is saying is superfluity, I just look it up in Strong, is a superabundance of it.
Yeah.
So I've got in my life, in my heart, in who I am at the very core of me, I've got a superabundance of naughtiness.
Well, if you believe the word, that's what it says.
Okay, but that's and that's kind of my point. I don't think we understand.
Yeah.
I don't think we get it, that we are bad jacked up. Right.
I'll give you a short tidbit of my testimony, because I was what I thought was a good person. I didn't hurt anybody else. I tried to be the best husband I could be. I tried to work hard, so much to a fault. That's all I ever did was work. Daylight to dark. I was building a house for my grandparents, and I could do anything. I could fix anything. I was at that age where, I wasn't too far out of high school, and there wasn't anything the world had that I couldn't do. And I was a good person about it, and I felt good about it. But I didn't need a crutch. That's how I viewed Christianity. I didn't need a crutch. I didn't need somebody to tell me, well, you can't do this, because I could. And I would have proved it to you, and I was that arrogant and cocky about it. I mean, that's just the way I was. And so what did God do? He continued to just allow me to think it and allow me to bury myself in my self-righteousness and pride until it came to the point where he started throwing things in my life that I couldn't control. But I sure tried. And as things just continued to pile on and pile on, it was just like, just give me something I can do with my hands, because I can do anything. But it was the things that I couldn't control. And realizing and coming to a point where I can't do it all. And that's when I finally broke. I finally came to God and I was like, I can't do it all. Because I really believed that I could. I was a good person. I didn't need any of that. And finally I came to a point where I was like, fine, God, if you want it, you can have it, but you're getting all of it. I mean, that's how I went at it. I was like, if you're going to take it, you're getting all of it. Because I'm not just going to go at this halfway. And I really haven't looked back. And I mean, that's there's people, you've heard this. People get saved, and there's people that's like, wow, that dude got saved. I was a different guy. The construction, you guys work around it. I was that guy. And I wasn't that bad of a guy. That's how I viewed it. I was actually I would always look at the next guy. I'm not as bad as him. He's cheating on his wife, and he's never. I could always find somebody that was doing something worse than me. And I think that's what it's talking about. Even as Christians, we do that. We look across the aisle, and it's like, well, I know, I shouldn't have done that, I shouldn't have said that, but you should see what Mark's doing, or you should see what this guy's doing. I mean, that's what we do. So that's what it's telling us we can't do.
This is talking in the context of Christians.
He's talking about how we're receiving the Word of God.
Right.
He's saying, if you want to receive this Word, anything that's in it, and try to apply it to yourself, you got to get rid of that other crap first.
Right, that superabundance of other crap.
Yeah. It's true.
It is true.
No, I think it's really good, though, because we like to look at ourselves and say, it's not that bad. I'm not hurting anybody.
Even as the longer you're saved, I think even the harder that can be. I think it's when you're first saved, those big things that everybody sees, those are easy to put aside,
mm-hmm.
right? The really difficult things to use the word to get rid of are those things like gossip and envy and
mm-hmm.
slander and thinking more of yourself. I mean, trying just to root out pride in your life. That's not even something, you don't ever even think of something so core to who you are when
mm-hmm.
you're saved.
No, it. I totally understand.
It gets harder and harder. Because your sin becomes, you see more and more to the core of who you are. And you really do understand that it is. You're just overcome. Your human flesh is just wicked.
Yeah. That's why I don't think it's a coincidence that James, the very first thing, he's like, I understand you guys are going through some stuff. That's the first thing he talks about. And then after that, he's like, okay, I get you're going through some stuff, but there's some things we need to address. you know, I understand that there's people trying to kill you and you just saw Stephen get martyred and I get all that, but if you're going to be real about your faith, let's evaluate some things. You know, and he looks right into, you've all got some things. And then what's the next thing he says? Okay, so how are you going to fix these things? Let's look at the Word. And that's where we're at right now. But he says, hang on, before you're going to try to apply this Word and be an American Christian about it, you need to get rid of the other stuff first. I just think the way that it all fits together is really good. So if you're going to grow in your faith, you got to put off that stuff. You have to. We just have to. So I think that's good. All right, so the next one. We only got one more today. The next faith step. Avoid being deceived, right? So let's go back to James for a second. I'll read 21 again. It says, wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity and naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For behold, he beholdeth himself, and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. I've been waiting to get to hear since we started James. Because, like I told you, every chapter in James has that one verse that's like, just get up and do something. I'm tired of talking about it, just do it. And that's the kind of person I am. I can only talk about something for so long before I'll just go do it. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever felt like you've been deceived? Right? I'm sure everybody's got their story. You know, because that's how we are. We hold on to things. I'm like, yeah, I can tell you the person and what they did. And, you know, like someone has intentionally led you astray for whatever reason, right? So just think about that for a minute. Of course, you've all got your own story of how we've at least have felt like we were being deceived by somebody. But let me ask you a different question, right? Because you can't control what other people do. Let me just give you a little tidbit. You can't control what other people do. It doesn't matter who they are. So let's go to something maybe we can do. Do you ever think you think you've ever deceived yourself?
Oh, yes.
Have you ever deceived yourself? You might be like, well, how's that possible? Well, let me give you an example. Sometimes we let either our mind tell our body that it can do something it can't, right? You can ask my wife. She can ask me if I'm in the middle of something, especially if I'm working, not even at work, if I'm building something, and she can say, how long is it going to take, or how long till you get home, or whatever, and I really believe it's going to take 2 hours. She'll say, he'll be home in 4.
Oh.
She will double it no matter what it is. If I'm in the middle of something and my mind, I'm like, I can do that. She's like, okay, I'm just going to double it. I'm like, what do you mean by that? Sometimes we let our mind tell our body that you can do this. No matter, I mean, it could be anything. I might let my mind convince me someday that I'm going to run a marathon, and my body's going to be very quick to tell me, no, you're not. Or we let our body tell our mind that we can do something it shouldn't. Right? Like, I'll be at work, and it's just faster and easier to just pick it up and do it. Well, no, let's get the lift. No, I'll just do it. And for 3 days, I'm walking around with my back bent over because my back's out. Sometimes we deceive ourselves, right? Those are both physical examples of what I think James is trying to show here. James is basically saying that we're being spiritually deceived. You know, like, what are you talking about? We're being spiritually deceived. James says that we have to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Deceiving your own selves. He says, you're all really good at listening to the word. We as American Christians are really good about showing up to church on Sunday and listening to the word. Listening to our podcast or our Christian radio. We're really good about hearing. But are we doing anything? Where's your action? We all say, we talked about it a little bit ago, we don't want to be Sunday morning Christians, right? But sometimes, isn't that exactly where we are? I mean, be honest with yourself, I guess, because I've already come to the grips of, I find myself there. We come in here, I mean, I'll just be real. We come in here, we hear the word, right? We're convicted about whatever it is we need to change, right? You're convicted. I'm like, oh, man, I can't do that anymore. The word's right. Jason, he didn't really do a good job, but the word is right, and I need to do something about it, right? So we walk out the door. I'm like, this is the week. I'm going to do something different. We tell ourselves we're going to do better. We walk out the door, and life happens. The Chiefs are on. Work's calling. I'll be completely honest with you. That's my biggest thing. My phone is always ringing from people at work. I don't care what's going on at work when I'm not there. I really don't. If it's broke, go home. I'll fix it when I get back. You know, whatever it is, life happens and our mind goes here and here, and before you know it, it's Sunday morning again. I'm like, dang it. Well, hopefully the Word's got something good today. This week's going to be the week. But I'm trying to be honest. I hope you guys, I mean, that's where I'm at. We're spiritually, that didn't sound right, we're spiritually deceiving ourselves. We really are. We come in with, we're going to do this. We come to the Word of God. We read it because that's what we're supposed to do, right? I'm going to be a good Christian, so I'm going to read the Word. I'm going to get up early, even though I'm tired, and I'm going to read it. And I leave the house, and I'm like, I don't even know what I read. Well, that's just a waste of time and bad attitude. Then we forget. We forgot what we read. We simply choose not to follow it because I don't have time to deal with that today, so I'll deal with that problem tomorrow. I know I'm not supposed to talk like that. I know I'm not supposed to think like that, but I don't have time today. We're spiritually deceiving ourselves. That's where we're at. So, what are we going to do about it? Because I'm not the kind of... I need somebody to tell me what to do. You tell me what to do and I'll do it. What are we going to do about it? We all want to have changed lives, right? I mean, I do. I want my life to be transformed. We all want to break the cycle that we seemingly fall into week in and week out. So, what do you do about it? Wherever you're at. You know, maybe your scenario isn't just like mine. Maybe yours is, you know, God's knocking at the door and you just don't really want to listen. Whatever it is, I don't know. Whatever it is, the faith step says not to be deceived. But what does that look like? It's really easy for me to say, don't be deceived. Okay, show me how not to. You know, it'd be really easy for me to tell my son, who's dang near blind without his glasses, just see it. And I want to. Show me how. Well, let me show you. Verse 22 says, but be doers of the word. What does that mean? Think about that for a minute. Be doers of the word. Remember last week's challenge? That not very many people, you know, we were busy, and it's straight out of the Word of God, guys. It shouldn't be a challenge to do what the Word of God says to do. And I'm not calling anybody out. These should be what we have. I told you already once today, I love how the King James here says that you're to be a doer of the Word. It could have said, do what the Word says. But that's totally different. For me to say, go do this, Mark, or to say, be a doer, it's completely different. Because you could go and do that and then be done. It's completely different. I think it's really cool. And let me try to explain what I mean, because you're like, here's an example. Anyone can cut a couple boards with a saw, nail them together. Does that make them a carpenter? Well, I know there are some that have a card that say they are, but does that make them a carpenter? Anybody can throw some ingredients in a bowl and stir them up. I brought the cookies last night, right? They showed up in my hand. I must have made them. or not. Does that make him a cook? Anyone can do the physical part of making a baby. Does that make him a mom or a dad? Just because you go about the actions of something temporarily, but what you are sticks with you. It doesn't say do what the word says, because that can be only sometimes, right? Like I said, I could tell you go do this, and you could go do it and say, okay, I did what you told me to do. Now I'm going to go back to my sinful lifestyle. No, it says be a doer of the word. If a carpenter decides someday, I don't want to go to work, that doesn't change the fact that he's not a carpenter. He's just not at work today. If you're a doer of the word, it is what you are. You know what I mean? Is that translating? Because that makes sense in my mind, but sometimes things in my mind don't. I mean, I hope that's... It is who you are. A doer of the word.
Well, not only that, I think it's the why you do.
Yeah.
Right? Because plenty of people do good things. Mm-hmm. You see people on TV that go out and pull food out of dumpsters and feed homeless people, but their motive is not the world.
Yeah, I agree.
Their motive is the world.
Mm-hmm.
So why do you do what you do?
You know, I was thinking about this with the doer part. So I'm thinking, this is a big book. It tells me to do a lot of stuff in here.
Yes, it does.
Right? I mean, a lot of stuff. So one of the things, what came to mind was, what are the number one and number 1A commandments that God gives us? What's number one?
Love God.
You can't answer. What's number one?
Love God.
Yeah, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, and your strength. Right? What's number two? Love your neighbor as yourself. Right? So if you think about those two things, holy smokes, how about we do that?
Yeah.
See, how about we do that?
Let's start with a little.
In the doing,
yeah.
Right? And not hearing only.
Mm-hmm.
Holy, see, if you did that, think how that would transform, I mean, radically transform the way we approach doing everything in life. If we just did that stuff.
Hmm.
But anyway. That's,
no, I get what you're saying.
Kind of came to
no, mind. You... No, it goes right along with the point. You know, you may decide some days that, you know what, I just don't want to follow God today. But that doesn't change who you are. If you're a doer of the word, you can't get away from it. It's just like when somebody truly gets saved. I mean, really gives their life to Christ. You know, they repent from their sins. They make God the Lord of their life. And one day they may be like, that's all a joke. You can't unsave yourself.
Mm-hmm.
There is no losing your salvation.
Right.
Once you decide that this is the person I'm going to be, I'm going to be a doer of the word. I'm going to love God and love people. Even if you choose not to, that just means that you're held accountable for it.
Right.
Once you've made the decision to. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's how we need to be. The same yesterday, today, and forever. Psalms 103:17 says, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear Him, and His righteousness unto children's children. God wants us to be like Him. And He's the same every stinking day. You know? So back to being deceived, right? We're to be doers of the word. When we're doers of the word, we're consumed with it, right? When I decide I'm going to do something, I like go all out. I don't sleep. I don't eat. I just, when I'm in the middle of something, that's the way I am. It is who we are. If I could simply just do what this book says all day, all the time, every day, then I wouldn't be spiritually deceived. That's all I got to do. So if anybody's got, just tell me how to do that. And that's what I want to do. So it sounds really simple. Obey God. It sounds really simple. Love God and love people. But start there. And then that one person comes up and you're like, gosh dang it, I don't really like you. Let me switch gears for a second and tell you this, because I was thinking about this and I was writing all this down. And I don't want to leave you in a place where I know this is what I'm supposed to do, but I can't, so I give up, because I like to feel empowered by the Word of God. So let me just give you my opinion on something. I don't think God, I don't think my God is a God who looks down on me when I fail. I don't want you to think that all I ever do in here, all we ever do in here is point out your failures. I don't think my God looks at me when I stumble and he's like, great, you screwed up again. Now, if I'm outright sinning and I know I'm not supposed to, I deserve everything I get. But I don't think that God is a God who looks at you and is like, you're never going to get it. That's not it. God wants you to succeed. Now, if you know what you're doing is wrong and you choose to do it anyway, just because you want to, it's different. But I don't think God's mad at me when I'm giving everything I got and I still come up short. God's constantly growing us. He's constantly growing me. Would you agree with that? That God is always trying to grow you. Whether you allow Him to or not, that's up to you. But God is constantly trying to grow you and mold you to be more like Him. As much as I would like it to, it doesn't happen overnight. I'm going to run out of time again. I was talking to Mark last night about some HBI stuff. And I won't say too much, but there's some things that he's just frustrated with. And I remember looking back and I was like, yep, because I went through the exact same thing. I mean, he would start saying something, I could like finish his sentence because I had the same thoughts, the same frustrations. And I was like, man. And he's looking at me like, well, what'd you do? And I look back and I'm like, I don't know, it really wasn't that hard. But I remember at the time I was so mad, so frustrated, because God has grown me from there. You know, and that's just a simple thing, but you're going to look back at that at some point and be like, God's just proving you. He's growing you. That's what He does.
Sometimes it's just stand. Sometimes it's not even do. It's just stand. Right? You've done everything else.
Having done all.
Just
yes.
Stand.
Stand. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Jesus Christ didn't come to the earth to save only the good people. Praise the Lord. Because if He did, I'd be gone. But Christ desires a relationship with us, starting with salvation. But that's only the beginning, right? I mean, you guys know that. I say all that to say this. Let's get to the point. God knows us better than we know ourselves. Would you agree with that? Mm-hmm. I believe that God knows me better than I know myself at times. And He knows that I'm not perfect as much as I think I am sometimes. So as long as I'm striving to be more like Him every day, I think I'm right in the center of where He wants me to be. God knew that simply saying, being doers of the word, might not translate to some of us. That's why verse 22 goes on to say, and not hearers only. He knows that we want to listen. Right? I want to know what the Word of God says. And we're here today, so we are listening. You have to do more than just hear. You can hear me talk till I'm blue in the face. You got to do something. Take a step and do something. Holy smokes. I'll just do something. I got to do something. I love passages like this in the Bible because it's all about give me something to do and I'll do it. It's right up my alley. So where does that leave us, right? Because we need to get moving. The title is Hearing or Doing. Hearing or Doing. You have a choice. I don't want to stand before God someday and Him say, you sure had a lot of knowledge and your church attendance was good, but what'd you do with it? What'd you do with it? You hear people say all the time, well, I don't know exactly what I'm supposed to be doing, so I'm just going to wait. I don't know. You know what I mean? You'll see people that will sit in the pew for years and years and years and never get involved with anything because they're like, well, God never really told me. Well, I'd never heard the audible voice of God either, but He says that I'm supposed to be a doer of the word. And I saw something need to be done and I'm doing it. Proverbs 14:23 says, in all labor there is profit. Do something. But the talk of the lips tendeth only to penury. I think that's how you say that. We can talk about doing something all day long. Proverbs 23:4 says, labor not to be rich. Cease from thine own wisdom. Just let that sink in. Proverbs 20:19 says, he that tilleth his land shall have plenty of bread, but he that followeth after vain persons shall have poverty enough. Find a good leader and follow him. Find somebody who's following God and follow them. I mean, that's simple. Hebrews 6, 10 and 11 says, "For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name, and that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister, and we desire that every one of you to do the same, to show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end." It says, God is not so unrighteous to forget what you did. All those times that you listened to the kids talk back, or all those times that you opened the door for them, or all those times that you shared the gospel with them, it says right there, God doesn't forget any of those times. You may have been really frustrated or anything else, but God didn't forget about it.
You know, one of the things I always remember about Roger and Christina Disciples, and this is so Roger, he's like, you know, you get fruit. God is clear. There's fruit in your deeds. He's like, I want them with as much fruit as possible.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, it just fallen out of my arms. Cool. And I never, I mean, as Christians, we kind of overlook the thought that it's okay to be greedy. Right? That God wants you to be greedy for him.
He gets the glory.
Fruit. He's giving you that on purpose. That was pretty funny.
I want, like,
that's so rough.
Supercharged jetpacks. I don't want the normal kind.
That's
right. I want...
To what? Yes.
I got a little bit more. I want to finish so we can, you know. You have to make the choice not to only hear the word, but to do it, right? If you want to be a Romans 12:1 kind of believer, you've got to finally do something. And I think that's what I'm trying to charge you with. Verse 23 and 24 give a good example of what we tend to do as believers today, right? Let me read that really quick. For if anybody hear the word and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he behold himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth man or what man he was. It's basically talking about a guy who looks at himself in the mirror and says, man, I need to get a haircut or something. You know, I need to do something. I can see it. And so I get in the word. I need to do something. And then he goes about his way, and the mirror's not in front of him, shining him in the face anymore, and he forgets about it. And he comes back the next day, and it's the same thing. And you can fill in the blank. I mean, whatever it is. But we can't be like that with the Word of God. We can't come to the Word of God, look at it, and say, man, I need to do that, and then forget all about it as soon as we leave. The Word of God has got to change your life. You have to allow it to change your life. And if you're not, what is the point? It would get really exhausting trying to do what God wants you to do if you're not really that into it. It's just exhausting. This is why... This is what we do in the ADD society we live in today, right? You can't even have a conversation with somebody without having that squirrel, you know, that moment where something, you know, shiny car, whatever it is, something. Do you see the stacks on that truck? Anything. Whatever it is. Well, that's how we are. No, I can be driving down the road talking to my wife about something probably really important, and I'm like, man, did you see that? It was shiny. I don't know why. We've got to make the Word of God a priority, or it's going to become just another thing that we have. And that's not what Jesus is about. I mean, that's not what he's about. Everything around us today wants everything wants to deceive you. And I'm wrapping up, I promise. Everything around you today wants to deceive you. Wants to tell you that your sin really isn't all that bad. How many times you heard that? Your sin's not that bad. It's not that bad. It wants to tell you that the Word of God really isn't, it isn't all that true. I mean, there's errors in it, right? They want to tell you that God, well, he's not really real. But I mean, you can pray if you want. They want to tell you that hell isn't really all that bad because, well, I mean, I'm just going to go down there and party, so it can't be that bad. Remember that fire last night? The world wants to tell you that you can do whatever you want to do, because there's no consequences. That's what the world wants to tell you. That's what the world is telling my kids. That's what the world is telling my coworkers. That's what the world is telling everybody. And it's all a bunch of crap. And if you as a Christian, if I as a Christian can't stand up for the fact that God is real, the Word of God is real, and make it real in my life, then what am I doing? What are we doing? I mean, it's really frustrating when somebody wants to tell me that the Bible really isn't what it is. Or that, well, you're not really that bad. Just Jesus, that's the answer. Just stop. Oh my gosh. The world wants to tell you a lot of things, but let me tell you something. If you don't have Christ, if you don't have this book living and breathing inside of you, then you're right, there is no hope. It is what it is. If you don't hear anything else today, please hear this. Without this book, right here, without Jesus Christ being more than just words on a page in your life, you're lost and you're without hope. You may say, I do what I want, or whatever your excuse is, I don't know. But the truth is, you're a slave to sin, and your day-to-day life, you're a slave to that day-to-day life. You're a slave to the, I'm coming in on Sunday, and you've become a slave to it. And if you don't make the Word of God real, if you don't make some changes in your life and make some things a priority, then you don't have any hope. And next Sunday, you're going to be back here the same way. And I don't want that. I don't desire that. I want God to be glorified through my life, through the Passpoint class, through everything that I do. So make it real. There are enough things in the world to deceive us, right? We don't need to deceive ourselves. Here's a couple of verses, we'll be done. Matthew 24, verse 4 and 5 says, And Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. Matthew 24:11 says, And many false prophets shall rise, and shall deceive many. Over and over again. Matthew 24:24, For there shall arise false Christ and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. If you're lost, simply put, you're being deceived. And if you're saved, you need to see why this is such a big faith step for us to take to not be deceived. The Word tells us if we're to not be deceived, then you got to be a doer of the Word. I don't want to be deceived, so what do I got to do? I'm that kind of person. If I don't want to do this, tell me what to do. Be a doer of the Word. Okay. Be a doer of the Word. Be a doer of the Word. How would it feel someday to stand before... How would it feel someday to stand before Holy God and have Him tell you that above everything else that you were, more than anything else that you were a doer of the Word? Yes. Just think about that. Let's pray. Father God, Lord, I love you, Lord. I thank you for your Word. It's really just an awesome, it's just an awesome gift that you've given to us, Lord. I pray that we would make it real in our lives, that we would just put away just the world off of us, Lord, because it's so easy to just pick those things up and we would just follow you. Just come to you humble and just say, God, here I am, use me. And Lord, I just pray that you would just continue to knit our hearts together, Lord, that you'd be glorified. Give us opportunities this week, Lord, to just intentionally minister your Word into just the people around us, Lord. I pray this all in Christ's name. Amen. All right. Don't get up yet. The challenge. I really want you guys... I'm not doing this for me. I don't want good stories. I want you guys to make it real. Do something this week that is completely not you, that intentionally ministers to somebody. Whatever it is. Take somebody to lunch. Actually speak to one of your coworkers. Whatever it is. Do something out of your way that just ministers to somebody. Because that allows them to see Christ in you. Alright? Do it! Alright, thanks for coming, guys. I'll see you next week. Oh, shoot. I need to take this off.